Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into hour number two. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia, here today on the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Kyle Madsen is going to, what do they call it, the greatest place on earth?
Happiest place on earth?
Happiest place on earth. Yeah, he's going to Disneyland this weekend.
Don't tell anyone. I'm a Universal Studios guy, though. I'll take that over Disneyland.
You're going to go, I haven't been to Universal in a long time.
Universal's fire. I'm a big movie guy and stuff like that, so I like all the little props and stuff they have, though. So it's more my bag, I guess.
Okay. I'm a big movie guy, too. We should have you on the podcast so you can...
I've seen old school movies too. I think I could be good with this.
You could just make fun of Brendan like we do the whole
time. Yeah, Brendan hasn't seen movies. He's got to step it up.
He does have to step it up. I actually, Sabonis camp, Brendan, well, not only Brendan was there, but his dad and his stepmom and his younger brother were there. And me and his dad had a conversation about this, how, you know, his dad has let him down, and his dad fully acknowledged that he's a movie buff as well and doesn't understand how his son doesn't understand movies.
It's all good. Shout out, Brendan.
Shout out, Brendan. Shout out, Brendan, who had a 1-year anniversary yesterday of his employment. So good for Brendan. Anyway, let's get to the San Francisco 49ers. They play, I don't know if this is a big game or not. I mean, I don't think they're like week two of the NFL season. You certainly
it's a game they need to win. You should not come out of Sunday's game losing.
I would agree, but you know, last year they came out of a game against Minnesota with a loss. And so you kind of hope.
But who was playing quarterback?
That's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal that Kirk Cousins is no longer there. And at that point, Kirk Cousins was the hottest quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, if you play fantasy football, Kirk Cousins in the first, like, 6-7 weeks of the season was, like, on fire.
Yeah, he was tearing it up.
I think he had 18 touchdowns before he popped his Achilles. But I think this is interesting. So the 49ers had practice yesterday. They've kind of like getting back in the grind here. I thought the Brandon Ayuk stuff, like, we were harsh on Brandon Ayuk. I think, you know, Peyton Manning was harsh on Brandon Ayuk. I think everyone should be, because you're disappointed that a player misses a bunch of camp, but then rolls in and drops like an easy touchdown.
I put that on both sides though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to know how soon that Niners offer came I need to know when they offered that deal and when they offered it. Like, because if he just waited forever to take it, then yeah, that's on him. But if you didn't present it to like a week before the season started or whatever, then that's different. That's on both of you. But if Ayuk was just kind of dragging his feet and that offer's been there, then yeah, I'll put that more on him.
No, I'm with you. I think it's a complicated matter, and I don't think it's fair just to roast a player. I do think when Ayuk comes out and says, hey, look, I was probably a little too harsh on, you know, in the negotiation, that was a problem, right? And I definitely think that he kind of put himself in a situation where now it's like, hey, the sheepish grin is fine and all, but you have to go out and perform. And I think the Niners did a good job of sort of monitoring his plays. Shanahan talked about how, you know, they made a conscious effort to pull him out of the game in certain moments and give him a breather. He wasn't on the field nearly as much as he would have been.
Well, because Ayuk said too that if I'm not misremembering the quote, but like he's never felt that way before, like on a football field.
Oh, just like,
yeah, just yeah. He was out of it.
No, I think I think he took something like 42, 43 snaps. We did. It was part of Mad Props last week, and so we looked it up. But Trent Williams played like 77 snaps. So look, I think that there is going to be a little bit of a getting back in shape, getting back in rhythm type deal. And we talked about this a little bit. Like, if you haven't played the outfield in a long time and all of a sudden you start running up on a ball, your body bounces and everything bounces and you can lose like sort of the flight of the ball very easily. And I kind of felt like that's what happened to him on the route in the end zone. Like, he's caught plenty of passes over the last couple of weeks and probably over the last couple of months. But what he didn't do is catch a bunch of passes while running full speed to the corner of an end zone with a defensive back on his back hip and the ball fading into the corner and you have to dive. That's just, it's something that you practice when you're doing like scrimmage stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're going out there and doing that drill all the time.
Yeah. Right? It's a drop. Like, okay, so I'll ask you this question. It's not mainly for you, but just in general, I guess. Of course it is for you because you're on the show. But, like, what are we doing if he shows up to camp and he drops it? Like, nobody's going to care, right? I feel like we're making too much of the drop.
No, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also think that that's the situation.
But it's also how it looks, too, so I get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's okay. Yeah, and Ayuk said after the game, I didn't watch the film until this morning. I was a little scared to watch it, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. And I think it's like, okay, let's just move on. Like, yeah. Don't drop a bunch of balls moving forward.
He'll be all right. He just literally missed training camp. Dude needs to get his legs under him, and he'll figure it out. Because you look at CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb wasn't great. He had 85 total yards, but I think 61 of them were receiving. He had 3 rushes, 25 yards. Ja'Marr Chase didn't really do much at all in that game and yeah. for the Bengals. So we'll see. Like, it's just all the holdouts.
Missing camp hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
I mean, look at Nick Bosa. He didn't really get going until late in the year.
Yeah, like week 8. It is when he really started to start get his legs underneath him. We also have this interesting dynamic this weekend. The 49ers are playing against a Vikings team that's very different than the team they had last year. Of course, you know, Kirk Cousins is gone, but it's not just Kirk Cousins. There's other players as well that are gone. Like Danielle Hunter's gone. They've got Adam Jones at running back. Like, this is a very different team, but I think it's interesting that Sam Darnold is a guy that you play that was your backup quarterback the year before, and like, now it's good for Sam Darnold to go out and get his own job and his own starting job.
He looked good in week one,
and he looked great in week one. But I think there's also something to the fact that if there's one team that knows Sam Darnold, it's going to be the 49ers. Like, this defense played against him a whole lot as either the scout team quarterback or, you know, the guy who's running a bunch of plays against you. You know what he looks like. You know what his weaknesses and his strengths are. The 49ers were all very gracious. I think, again, Shanahan was very complimentary of Sam Darnold. And then I think there's a quote here from Fred Warner. I was always really impressed with his arm talent. I mean, I don't know if I've seen as natural a thrower of a football as him, being able to make all the throws. Yeah, I think this is, they're just kind of buttering him up.
That's right? Exactly what they're doing. I mean, you had, like, I'm going to try to be nice about Sam Darnold. I don't think he's a very good quarterback. But there's no way that 49ers defense, like, all right, guys, like, Sam Darnold, oh, big week, fellas, let's see what's going on. Like, you can't tell your real thoughts about how you feel going into this week, so you're going to say, yeah, Sam Darnold's great. He's one of the, I think some media guy said, one of the media players, people for the 49ers when he was there, best thrower of the football since Joe Montana or something like that. So, yeah, we know you could throw the ball, but it's like, you're going to kind of just talk him up a bit, and then once Sunday gets here, it's like, all right, now's the real thing.
Once Sunday gets here, if Sam Darnold looks like moves out of the pocket for a second and moves towards the line, Fred Warner is going to launch himself at him and try to crush him.
There's no aspect at all on Sunday where Sam Darnold should be like dotting up the 49ers defense. This should be, let's keep it real, James, like, Sam Darnold's not a good quarterback.
Okay.
Like, they should handle that on Sunday.
I would say, though, this is a team with a lot of talent. I mean, the still
Vikings?
Have Jefferson. They still have Addison. They have
Aaron Jones.
Wide receiver Aaron Jones.
I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt. Quarterback is not good.
Okay.
And I'm not, like, he played well against the Giants, but the Giants aren't great either.
Yeah, but I'd also like to see if the 49ers can put pressure on him, because that's something that they just weren't good at this last weekend. And I think that, you know, they've got to get better on the defensive side of the ball for sure. I definitely think this is a winnable game for the 49ers. Anyway, I think it's interesting stuff, but I don't think the 49ers should be fearing Sam Darnold.
This should be a two-score game.
I would agree. All right, let's step away. When we come back, we're gonna dive deep into this Thursday Night Football game, because, of course, Jesse is a huge Miami Dolphins fan, and we need
to put Week 18 last year when Miami lost to Buffalo and lost out on winning the division. I almost threw my remote at the TV.
Uh-oh. We can't have
it's
that.
Bad. It's bad juju today.
It's too early. You need to save for a grill, not a new TV. All right.
Fact, especially not the company TV.
I'm James Hamm. That's Jesse Tapia. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in just a minute.
Back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. Just me and Jesse here today. No Kyle Madsen. One of those days. Kyle likes a vacation. I'm just kidding. He's a busy man. He's got a birthday to celebrate with his wife. So really good to see him step away before things get really crazy here with...
Going to be go time soon.
Yeah, once we get to the point where there's football and basketball at the same time.
Yeah, once the Kings get here, it's all right. Now it's time.
Yeah, and there's actually like a little bit of time where there's football, basketball, and baseball, right? So I think it gets a little out of hand. It's, you know, like we were going to talk about the game tonight, but I'm going to push that back just a little bit because I do want to talk a little bit of baseball.
What did you got for us today?
You know, I'm watching some of this incredible play by Ohtani, and it seems like there's no way to watch him without like just completely... Everyone should be enamored with what he does on the field.
He's the best player in baseball. And that's that, I feel.
Yeah, I think it's wild because you forget that not only does he have... He hit a home run and stole a base last night, right? So he's up to 46 and 47, I think. Is that what it is? Or 47 and 48.
He's got 47 homers, I know that.
He's got 47 homers. He's got 48 stolen bases. He's trying to become the first 50-50 player of all time. And that's just like...
It's insane.
That's bonkers.
Yes.
Right? It's just like off the charts bonkers. But then when you consider the fact that he is a number one, number two, number three quality starter on a great team...
Saw a video the other day too that he's starting to throw off the mound a bit.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible that not only can he do what he's doing right now, but on top of that... Like Major League Baseball has had to change rules because of him, because they want him on the field. And because he's been so good as a hitter, it overshadows what he's going to be as a pitcher or what he has been as a pitcher. And it's just wild.
Can you imagine if he came to the MLB earlier and like he was just dominant, like doing it like this, which is the longer period of time now? Because that's the thing about Shohei. I think when we talk about the greats and all that stuff, I think when people... talk about him, the little asterisk, but he was only here for like 7, 8, whatever, however many seasons.
Well, I think by the end, he'll be here like 12, 14 seasons.
But you hope he's still able to keep it up, you know? Because he's older. So, like, it'll be 38, I'm sure, by the time. Like, you'll be older, so you don't know if he'll be keeping up that dominance, is what I'm saying.
No, it's very possible that you're right, that he won't be able, and especially, like, this is his second Tommy John surgery, right?
I think so.
I think it's his second since he's been in Major League Baseball. And so, like, there is that question of, like, can he hold up? But certainly he can hold up as a hitter, which is just, it's just absolutely wild to watch. Ichiro had, I think, 800 hits before he came over. And he finishes with, you know, I think he broke 3,000 hits in the Major League Baseball. I know he did. I don't remember his total off the top of my head.
No, he broke 3,000, yeah.
Yeah, like one of the greatest hitters we've ever... I think between his pre-Major League Baseball and his baseball stats, he's approaching Pete Rose, or maybe was above Pete Rose as far as hits, total hits. But just like the gem that he was, just like incredible to watch the whole time. And he played forever, which is great. I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to see another player like Ohtani.
Enjoy this now, because we're not getting another pitcher, hitter, or whatever. That's not happening, unless maybe Japan's just got him lined up or something.
Yeah, maybe. I guess that's possible, but he's even, for me, first of all, like we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, because it was him and Judge like going at it, right? Like dueling banjos. Judge fallen off so dramatically. He got to 51 homers in like, I think there was like 5 or 6 days left.
I saw a tweet said Judge is falling off because we're getting closer to postseason baseball. And I think that was very nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so thank you. Thank you, Ramsey. 3,089 Major League baseball hits for Ichiro, which, Ramsey, I think just because I think Rod Carew had 3,088, which is right there. That's numbers popping into my head. I think it's absolutely incredible, right? We're watching two great players, but seeing one who has like a goal and is like chasing history, and the other one who was starting to chase history and then just like stopped. I mean, how Judge can go like 2-3 weeks without hitting a home run, I don't know. Like he can accidentally hit a ball 500 feet.
Yeah, I mean, it's baseball, though. And for those that have played baseball, you know what that means. Just stuff happens. Sometimes you're just going to get into a drought.
No, I totally think so. We also have like a couple of A's things. I know we don't talk a ton of A's here all the time. But Lawrence Butler extended his hitting streak to 19 games last night in the A's 5-4 win over the Astros. Number one, he's becoming a superstar.
He is, because you know what? I'm throwing on the A's games, and I'm watching Lawrence Butler a little bit now.
Yeah, he had a great catch last night. He's stolen a bunch of bases. He has a potential to go for 2020. Gelof all of a sudden has a potential to go 2020. Rooker just can't be stopped. Like, they really are playing well right now. And we're looking at the A's are at 64-82. They're right now, they're 7 games over their projected win total by the odds makers. Is that surprising to you?
I guess it is, because I wasn't familiar with the A's prospects. Like, if you could have told me, like, oh yeah, Lawrence Butler and these guys could step up and maybe do some things, like, there's some, like, exciting prospects, and I was, like, just tapped in on the A's and all that, I don't know if it would have been surprising. Like, is it for you? You follow this team?
Yeah, I mean, I do follow this team. I think it's surprising because they've actually got decent starting pitching from their young starters. Like, not to be a jerk, but like if Ross Stripling wasn't on this team, the A's probably have like 6 more wins. Just like the entire season. I'm not looking to hit his win loss record right now. But I think I'm being generous saying 6. And I do believe that like there are pitchers on this staff that they kept going to because they're veterans and they felt like they had to. And Ross Stripling on the season is 2-11. Yeah. 2-11 with a 6.08 ERA.
Not great, James.
No. If you had anyone else starting those 21 games, or even coming in as, well, he started 14, coming in as a reliever in the 7 games, even as a reliever, he's not been good at all. So that's going to be the real challenge for the A's moving forward. Can, especially coming in Sacramento, can they put a competitive pitching staff together? Because they've got hitters. Like, I don't think they're going to have any problem like hitting a whole bunch of home runs out of Sutter Health Park, which is going to be fun. I think that's going to be great. There is some other sort of weirdness that we're going to be talking about. First of all, sort of the news has been breaking over the last couple of days that it's possible that the A's, if they make the postseason, that they will not be playing in Sutter Health Park. I got to be honest with you. Like, first of all, this was kind of brought up early, and now it's like resurfacing as the season's ending, and it's like, oh, let's heap on this situation. How exactly did people think they were going to fit? Like, what if it's a World Series?
That's the thing. We were joking. Like, can you imagine the World Series Game 7, 14,000 at Sutter Health Park?
14,000 people. Tickets would be like $8,000 a piece. Like, what did people expect here? Because, like, look, if you're going to play in a stadium that's a third the size of most parks, you're going to have some sort of, like, and, like, we're also talking about if the A's make the playoffs. That's one of the biggest ifs there are.
Yeah, let's maybe take some steps here.
Yeah, like, if the A's, the A's making the playoffs has a better shot than the stadium in Las Vegas being sold out, at the 30,000 seat stadium being sold out every game for 20 years, which is what they need to fulfill their commitment to the city. That's not happening.
Yeah, no.
No, the A's have a better shot of actually making the playoffs than that happening. But at the same time, like, this is kind of what was expected. They're going to have to figure out whether it's going down to San Francisco or whatever. And then I know Scott Boras has been on the air talking about the players union. And first of all, he's an agent. He's not part of the players union. But he's been talking about how there's a huge concern by the players because there isn't another outdoor baseball stadium that has AstroTurf. And that's a big deal. The Players Association does not want the Sutter Health Park to be switched over to AstroTurf, which is, I mean, it's understandable. It gets super, super hot unless they have some way to cool the AstroTurf. But at the same time, there's the problem that you're going to be splitting the field with the River Cats. And I think that's where there's going to have to be some give and take. Like, you can't have... You can see how the field even right now is a little beat up because of baseball all season long and because you're getting late and because it's been so hot in Sacramento. Well, that's only going to be worse if you're trying to put two teams on that field at a time. And like there's what, like 4 days or something where there isn't either an A's or a River Cats game. So there's no way for grass to hold up. And it kind of feels like if Vivek wants the A's here, which I know he does, he's probably going to have to find a different place for the River Cats to play for like half of their games. And I don't know how to do that, but I don't think that they're like, if the Players Association is going to fight on the actual AstroTurf and on a bunch of other amenities, which don't currently exist, that's going to be a problem. I want this experience to be good for Major League Baseball and not to have it just be a complete mess.
Yeah. I mean, like there's stuff, it's not a perfect situation. It's like Sacramento got the A's here. Now you still have stuff to figure out. And that's just honestly what it comes down to. And hopefully after you're able to get a team here or whatever. But yeah, they have stuff to figure out, but that's not new, I guess.
No, I guess it's not. And what my kind of fears are, though, is that you're going to have games where, you know, it's 108 at 7 o'clock at game time in Sacramento, and the field is 138 degrees or 107.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough.
And you're not going to be able to play baseball, and you're going to have to actually cancel games or do something else. I think that's going to be a problem.
I mean, you would hope that they planned out for it, right? Yeah, I'm sure someone had to talk like, hey guys, like, yeah, it gets pretty hot out here. Like, what are we going to do when that happens if we're talking about it?
Yeah, but the problem is that not only are you doing this on the fly, but you're doing it, you're trying to accomplish this with somebody who like...
Was a cheap ass.
Who, yeah, wants to pay with like, with coupons. It's like, man, that's not the way this is going to work. So I don't know. I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. I am excited to see baseball in Sacramento, but I'm definitely like intrigued. Like, how is this all going to work out in the end? All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to dive into this this Thursday night football game between the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins that Jesse loves so much. I'm James. He's Jesse. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in just a minute.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia, hanging out with you on this lovely Thursday in Sacramento, California. I guess, technically speaking, Roseville, California, which is really, really close to Sacramento. We've got a huge, huge football game coming on tonight for you, Jesse. The Miami Dolphins are facing
the boogeyman,
the Buffalo Bills. They are your boogeyman, aren't they?
Facts. They think they've lost 11 out of their last 12. The only one they won before that I was at in 2018, I think.
That's the last time they beat them?
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill put 3 touchdowns on the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, no. It was Tannehill?
My sports life is so sad.
It was Tannehill era?
Yes.
Man, I just keep forgetting, like... Next thing you're going to know, like, Chad Henne was a starter quarterback for...
Think about it. Like, I've gone through Jay Fiedler, Ryan Tannehill, Gus Frerotte, Jay Cutler, Damon Heward. I could probably name them all since Marino up to Tua, but, like, it's been bad.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
That's why I feel like I can relate to Kings fans so much.
Didn't we have Bernie Kosar at one point?
Miami?
Yeah.
I think in the 90s, though. He was Marino's backup at one point.
Yeah, I think he had to actually play. He was a weird sidearm slinger. Good old Bernie Kosar. Did Testaverde ever play for
him? I don't think Testaverde ever did.
Are you sure? He played for like 73 teams.
Jets and Jags, I think. I don't know who else, but he was never Dolphins.
Jets and Jags. He played for a lot more teams than that.
Soren in the chat says that we just won an NBA championship. Yes, but you know what? I live and die with the Dolphins a little bit more.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What is your biggest concern going into this game?
Biggest concern is they're not going to be able to contain Josh Allen again. He's just going to dominate. That's literally what it comes down to every game. Because if you look at the scores and all that, they're not close, really. There's probably 3 in the last 12 that were like actually within a score or something like that. The Bills come and they just destroy Miami. They punch them in the face, and Miami has no idea what to do after that. So I want to see like if Miami could be physical back and all that. They've kind of been a finesse team the last few years. So I'm watching for that.
Are you concerned at all? Of course, you would love it that they have this problem, but the fact that the Bills just don't have seasoned wide receivers for Josh Allen, they reset their receiving core.
Yeah, so like looking at that, like Miami should be like do well. Like you have Jalen Ramsey, Kendall Fuller, Javon Holland's great. Jordan Poyer came over from Buffalo last year. Like you have the secondary that should be able to match up. So like it shouldn't be that much of a problem. Like Shakir is a decent receiver. We'll see what Keon Coleman is. He's a rookie and all that. Then you got Curtis Samuel. Might be missing someone else, but like Miami, like you got to step up here. You got Jalen Ramsey, Kendall Fuller. Like your secondary is better than what they got in wide, at their wide receiver spots. So, yeah, you got to handle that.
Now, what about your wide receiving core, which is like one of the best in football? Like,
I think they need. This is where it's kind of a little worried a bit. Achan's a game time decision. You're going to need him out there. He's essentially wide receiver three for them right now. Mm. Tyreek and Waddle will do their thing, but looking at it last week, Achan was a big part of the passing game. Like they had tight ends running routes because they got Odell Beckham Jr. is not back till week four, week five, or whatever. He's on IR. Braxton Berrios is he wasn't great last week. Malik Washington, they drafted him. That's Kyle's guy. He's been hurt with a quad, so they're kind of low at depth with wide receivers right now.
What's their tight end situation look like? Because I haven't been looking.
They got Durham Smythe. He's a blocking. It's not nothing special. Jonnu Smith is there, but he's kind of a rover on offense.
Yeah, but Jonnu's one of those guys that just scores touchdowns.
Yeah.
You're like, you're surprised that he's still in the league. Plus, he was there for the Tyreek thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I think that this is, I'm excited to watch because I think it's going to be good football. I'm also I want to see them like sort of open up and let Tua throw. Cause I don't think the, like all the little dink and dunk.
Last week, I'm going to give credit to the Jags on that one. Like I said, I think they took away the middle of the field and Miami took what they could get.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it really did look like a lot of game planning. So
it's the first week of the season too. And it's just not everyone looked good the first week.
We talked about this a lot. Quarterback play in week one was like erratic. And I think, you know, like Brock Purdy is a guy who, you know, at the tail end of it, he ends up looking like not even middle of the pack, like higher, you know, up just because some of the quarterback play was so bad. But this should be like this game specifically, the quarterback play should be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's two possible MVP candidates, I think.
Do you think that like Josh Allen running up the middle, Josh Allen, like he just... He put so many miles on his body, a lot like Lamar Jackson. Do you think that this is he going to be able to hold up doing this, especially when he doesn't have sort of the horses on the outside to keep him going?
Yes, because he's built like a middle linebacker.
He's a big man.
Yes, I think he's like, 6'7"? He's got some weight or whatever. Like, he's a big dude. He's not the same as Lamar taking off. Like, if you're going to hit Josh Allen, you're going to feel that too.
I have James Cook in my fantasy league, and like to be honest with you, he was a breath of fresh air in week one. I think he's gonna like get a whole bunch more passes over the next couple of weeks. I think he's just gonna keep growing in his role. But he also ran really well, and it almost looked like they should have ran the ball more. Is that a concern for you coming in as a Dolphins guy?
No, not so much, James Cook. Like, I think they'll be able to contain him and all that. It's literally for them, it comes down to Josh Allen. You can't let Josh Allen beat you and just dominate like how he is. That's the guy right there. That's the one you zone in on, and you shut down Josh Allen, they'll win this game. Not even shut down, just don't let him dominate, like I said.
Just don't let him dominate. I think Josh Allen, I got to be honest, I think he's going to have a very tough time just dominating. Again, with his legs, sure, he can do a lot of damage, but... I just don't trust what's happening with their wide receiving core, and I don't trust where they're.
Yeah, you got to develop that. He's got to develop Keon Coleman, or Shakir was decent last season, so maybe he's got some stuff going on this year. But you got to develop someone into a number one; otherwise, it's probably not going to work.
Yeah, definitely. Shakir is the guy who kind of stands out. We talked a little bit about this before, but when you look at these Thursday night games, would you rather? I guess this one is okay because these two teams are going to play each other twice, right? But this is sort of a marquee game. Is this something you want on Thursday Night Football?
As for the sake of, like, I don't want just insert two bad teams playing because it's already going to look bad. Like I said, we talked about it earlier in the first segment. It's just too little of a turnaround time for these teams to be at their best, I think. So give me the teams that have the star players and all that playing against each other because that's honestly the only way I think we'll get decent games out of this.
No, I'm with you completely. I don't know that that these teams are going to be there in the end, but I certainly think that they're teams that are going to, well, I think they're going to be playoff teams. Both of them are playoff teams. It's just a matter of like, you know, how high their ranking would be in the AFC. Do you think Miami is a Super Bowl contender? I know last year, like week two, week three, we were like, oh my gosh, look at how good they are, right?
I can't call them that yet because they haven't even won a playoff game.
Oh man.
They fold in December. Like they have on paper, yeah, they're fine. They got great players and all that. Once they get guys back from IR, like they're gonna be great. but I can't call you a Super Bowl contender if you fold when the lights get bright in December and you haven't won a playoff game yet.
So you're saying they're not?
They're not. They can become that, but I'm not going to say that right now.
Okay. And are you comfortable with Tua?
Yes. Like what that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback forever. Shout out Tua. Glad you got the deal. All good with Tua.
Okay. Let's get back to the quarterback situation this weekend. I thought that overall the quarterback play was pretty horrible. And it wasn't like the rookies for the most part. I thought Daniels had a decent game. And I thought Bo Nix showed some flashes and Caleb Williams won. But I thought overall that group, like there wasn't they looked like rookies, especially Caleb Williams looked like a rookie. Bo Nix looked like a rookie. Do you think that like we have to hold out on reacting to like whether it's young quarterback play or quarterback play in general? Again, like Kirk Cousins was absolutely atrocious. Daniel Jones was so bad. Like there were so many, like I looked at the interception leaders and there's like seven quarterbacks had two picks this week.
Nobody plays in the preseason anymore.
You think that's it?
Yes, 1,000%. These guys, I don't know, maybe in practice you can get all those reps and be on the same page. I don't think so. We'd have to hear coaches talk about it or whatever, but like just sticking with the Dolphins or whatever they're playing tonight. Like Tyreek and Tua were never on the same field, I don't think, in the preseason. Like Waddle was out all preseason too, dealing with injury. And you shift that to whatever team. Like if you guys aren't playing together in the preseason, or it's kind of, we got a mix of guys here, a mix of guys there or whatever, and it's just not really, I don't know what the word is, but just not, like well, just not together or whatever. Like
yeah, that's not on the same page.
Yeah, that's just not going to look good, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a little bit like watching, you know, we can talk about the Ayuk drop. He had two. One of them was, you know, a quick slant that got the ball got knocked out of his hands and they may not have called a drop. But realistically, if he would have been ready and if he was in football reaction shape, I think he would have held on to. Then you have the bad, you know, the drop in the end zone. But I thought like Brock Purdy was one of the few quarterbacks this week that actually looked really good.
Yeah, Brock played well.
Yeah, I thought Tua, like overall, like Tua, the stats say he was really good. But I also, like, there were a lot of, like, what did we see? The attempts, yards per attempt on Caleb Williams was 3.2 yards per attempt.
Yeah, the rookies one, I'll kind of put them to the side because you're probably kind of saving them from themselves a bit.
Yeah, I guess so. But, and then the other guy who was, like, beyond horrendous was Deshaun Watson.
I'm writing him off. He's done. Whatever he was with the Texans, that person's never coming back. That quarterback.
I don't think he's ever coming back.
He's not. Whatever Deshaun Watson used to be as a quarterback, I think he's gone now.
Yeah, and now he's got more off the field stuff where there's an investigation and all this stuff. It's turned into a.
It's never gonna leave. I think.
You know what though? It was a full fledged nightmare before they did it.
Yeah.
Like this
Browns knew what they were getting into.
It's probably the biggest bullet the 49ers ever dodged because you remember they were in on Deshaun Watson.
Me too.
As a trade target. Like they were trying to acquire Deshaun Watson and then all this stuff starts to come out. And now it just feels like the off court stuff, whatever it is off the court that he's doing, off the field that he's doing, it's you're seeing a player who is so limited on the field and he's clearly never going to live up to his contract.
No chance.
But even more than that, like, is there a way to escape that contract? And I don't know that there is. I think that it's going to put them in.
Mike Florio tweeted out something. I have to double check it, but there is a clause where if these lawsuits keep coming out or something happens a certain way, they can get out of it.
Okay, so there's a morality clause built in.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe it was Mike Florio who tweeted it out.
What an absolute mess, man. I don't even know what to make of it. Like, they very seldom do you see, because like the quarterback's a leader of your team, right? There's wide receivers. There are people who have issues. Like in the NFL, clearly there are a lot of players who have issues. There's a lot of players who probably have undiagnosed CTE. There's a lot of players who, you know, their off the field stuff just keeps getting more and more extreme. But this is somebody who just can't seem to like avoid.
Well, how am I supposed to fight for that person too on the field?
Yeah.
If you've, feel however you feel, if you think he did or whatever, how am I supposed to fight for that person?
No, I agree. I think he's put that franchise in a really, really difficult situation. And he's put a lot of people in difficult situations off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that like he's turning out to be really not a good dude. And I think we've known that for too long. And the one thing I would point out is that the Browns knew it before they signed him to that deal.
They knew it and gave him a fully guaranteed deal.
You reap what you sow.
That's right.
Yeah, just absolutely ridiculous.
You want to hit the phones real quick?
Yeah, let's hit the phones.
Mitch, you're going to be our first caller on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. Let's get Mitch in here. Mitch, what's up?
How's it going, Jesse James? This is the backup team.
Appreciate it, Mitch.
We're not the backup team. What's going on here, Mitch?
I'm coming off the bench, though. I see what he's got. I see what he's saying. I'm coming off the bench. It's good.
Oh, you're the primary guy. Jesse's he's the substitute teacher.
I'm the sixth man.
He fills in any role. Any role you need of him.
That's right. That's right. And you're the guy who called us three times last week, and none of those three calls came through. Just saying. Let's say glass sorry. House, stones.
I was don't read this the wrong way. I was at the farm. My brother-in-law and my mom-in-law is in bad shape. Their farm, that Wi-Fi, I get very poor service.
All right. What do you got for us, Mitch?
I tell you, Sam Darnold, I think he's going to give you guys a good game, the 49ers. And on Jesse's Miami Dolphins, I like the team. Yeah, Tua's a good fight. He's a little delicate. Could you just imagine? I mean, he admitted what he did wrong at that unfortunate incident. Could you just imagine if that cop hurt his knee? Can you imagine if it was serious and be out for the year?
Yeah, talking about Tyreek.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been tough.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Mitch.
Appreciate you, Mitch.
Yeah.
I don't see Sam Darnold giving the Niners any problems. Mitch is a big Pac-12 guy, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's his boy right there.
The Pac-2?
Yeah, Pac-2, now the Pac-6.
Maybe the Pac-6.
Maybe we'll be the Pac-7 in a couple weeks.
Do we call him the six-pack or the Pac-6?
I'm going six-pack.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'm going six-pack.
Yeah, six-pack. I don't know. I in the back of my mind, there is this like small amount of, you know, Sam Darnold could just have a day and just light you up. And if he starts to build off of what he did last week, there's a possibility that he gives him a run for his money. He's got a ton of talent around him.
He does, but I guess I don't want to beat up on the guy too much. He's just not a good quarterback. It don't matter who you throw around him. He's just not a good quarterback. And he played the Giants last week, so that's great. You played well, but now you're playing a real team. So if he plays well this week, I'll give him some credit, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah. And as far as the Tyreek Hill situation, first of all, just a horrific look, like not defending anybody, not taking one side or the other. I know that Tyreek came out yesterday and said, look, I could have handled it better. I could have handled the situation better. I could have rolled down my window better, sooner. I could have been more, compliant and but still, for it to be right there, right? How far away from the stadium was it?
It was right there, I'm sure. Yeah. It looked like the hard walk was in the, not background, but it's like the same area. I've been there before, so yeah.
Yeah, and again, he was being pulled over for speeding. That's not exactly the place to be speeding because there are a lot of people. I mean, you can see there's a lot of people around. But at the same time, just like there's no place for that. And
keep your composure.
Yeah.
You need to be the adult in the room too.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to be the adult in the room there. So, so it is Mitch, to Mitch's point, it's good. Nothing escalated any further and there were no injuries or anything else. Plus what Jonnu Smith and Calais Campbell rolled up, right?
Yeah, like that. Like I said, like to have some composure, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Calais Campbell is like,
he's a Walter Payne man. Like, yes, there was no reason for that aggression, but
but that dude's like 6'9".
Yeah,
like that's a gigantic man. That's not who you want to see climbing out of a car. And like, oh my goodness. So yeah, just wild scene. And certainly on week one of the NFL season, not something that you want stealing the headlines of the Sunday morning. Unfortunately, these things happen. What else are you looking for? Like, if the running backs here in what if it is just Jeff Wilson tonight? I don't even know what they have after that.
I mean, Jeff Wilson, they got Jalen Wright. He's a rookie. He's a speedy guy. I think Achan's playing. He went through the walkthrough yesterday with the team. Didn't have a non-contact jersey or whatever. He was cutting. The beat reporter said, look, fine. Well, as far as like how he can be. So I think he's playing today, but I think we'll see Achan play. Jeff Wilson will get more of the carries too. Fantasy football people talk about Jalen Wright a lot, but everything is pointed to Jeff Wilson getting those carries that most certainly won't get.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at what Shanahan does. And McDaniel does a lot of the similar things. Like, he relies on specific people, and those are people that he's very, very comfortable and confident in. And I think A-Chain kind of broke that mold a little bit. But also with Mostert scoring 18 touchdowns, whatever it was last year. So I would expect Jeff Wilson, if Achane's not playing. Either way, I think Jeff Wilson's going to get a lot of carries.
Yeah, he'll get his.
And he's one of those dudes, every time he plays, he just scores a ton of touchdowns.
I love Jeff Wilson for the sake of he will run through that, like just run through whoever's in front of him. He's one of the more physical runners I think Miami's had in a while. And he really, like, he doesn't get the ball a lot or anything like that, but when he plays, he's impactful, I think.
Yeah.
He was big last week against the Jaguars. They couldn't run the ball at all. They threw Jeff Wilson in there, and they're starting to get four-yard runs, five-yard runs, like starting to open up the offense a little bit for them.
Yeah, he's sort of a sledgehammer. He busts open the hole, and like, you know, he's a guy who throughout his career, anytime he does get opportunity, he seems to take full advantage of it. And again, to get back to sort of the Shanahan thing and McDaniel thing, it's one of those things where, you know, he puts a lot of faith in people that he feels comfortable with. I mean, it's why this last weekend we saw Mason run 28 carries and one reception when he had like one or two other running backs like sitting there he could have gone to, and those guys are just not getting any play at all because he doesn't, you know, there isn't faith built up in him. And, you know, both Mostert and Jeff Wilson are 49ers guys that sort
of he's been with him.
Follow McDaniel to Miami. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, they weren't able to run the ball well last week, but even if they're not, I don't think it'll affect them too much.
You don't think so?
I think they'll be able to figure it out.
The modern NFL, this is kind of what you have to have, right? You have to have just a stable of backs because...
Yeah, there's no really power horse backs, bell cow backs anymore. You need probably two guys at least.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's just the way the position's gone now. I mean, is it because there's a lot of good running backs now, or is just... Because I have a theory, too. Like, there's no Adrian Petersons in this league right now. Like, Christian McCaffrey is great, but he's not... Like, there's no all-time great-type running backs, at least to that level where it's like, yes, we're going to give him the ball, make him our offense. Like, that player hasn't existed as a running back unless I'm just missing someone since him.
I think if you're, like, the Adrian Peterson type, like a 2,000-yard back, you know, Derrick Henry was that guy. I don't think he's that guy anymore at all, even close. And then I think so many teams have gone to like an all-purpose back. So McCaffrey is the great of the great all-purpose backs, like one of the best receivers out of the backfield we've ever seen. Maybe he doesn't get the same amount of touches because of the offense he's in. But this is a dude who like he had a streak of like he hadn't dropped the ball in like four seasons or something.
Well, that's the thing too. I feel like if you're running routes and they got you out there all the time, yeah, you're going to get less carries and all just because we can't just overuse this guy way too much.
Yeah, but that's also, I think that teams that do overuse their backs, you see it like super quick. That's why I was even surprised this weekend when Mason had 28 carries. You're like, okay, that's a lot of carries. That's a lot of carries. What are we doing here? And I think it's okay to have that happen here and there, but like, what if you do need him for the next 4 weeks? What if McCaffrey doesn't come back super quick and all of a sudden, you know, you've piled 100 carries on this guy in 4 weeks who hasn't ever done this in his career? Like, at the college level, the high school level, he hasn't rushed that many times. And all of a sudden, you're just thrusting him into this situation, hoping for the best.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes and all that. But yeah, I just feel like with the running back position, it's kind of, we've moved past that. Like, the age of the guys are going to get 30 carries a game and all that.
It's wild, though. I mean, it used to be like the Eddie Georges of the world.
Yeah.
You know, these guys just, even Ezekiel Elliott when he was young, he has just so many carries. And now every team is going away from it. Even like we're watching the Chargers this weekend and, you know, Gus Edwards getting carries, but then J.K. Dobbins getting a bunch of carries. Like, it feels like every team is doing like the split back. I think it's interesting because it's probably going to open up something different for the 49ers once McCaffrey is healthy. And I think Mason is a player who may have been able to say, hey, look, I'm here. And if you need me 8, 10, 12 carries a game, if you need to take some stress off McCaffrey, if you need him to get slowly back into the flow and then preserve him for week 17 and then the playoffs, that's fine. And so I think it might be a blessing in disguise that the 49ers have found a guy.
That's got to be nice, huh? Oh, our best running back is out. I mean, so important to our offense. Oh, Jordan Mason, can you play for us, please? Yeah, let me give you 147
yards. 147
yards. Insane.
And what is he? It's not like he's a rookie. We're looking at like a third, fourth year back, undrafted guy.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah.
And just had, maybe hasn't had his opportunity yet, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about this, the NBA. Like, that's opportunity is everything. Like, if you get an opportunity, if you can't take advantage of it, then they move on to the next player. You know, you might have two or three times where you get a true chance. You know, like the guy that pops in my head, like Chimezie Metu. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're going to give you a run here. Like, and that's your chance. And you take advantage of it, and then if you start to fall away from what they're asking, then they go a different direction. And you might get one more of those, and he did. But then again, eventually they go to other people because that's sort of the game. And so for a guy like this to walk on the field and just, like, I think Kyle called him, he tweeted, he looks like a grizzly bear with chainsaws for arms.
That's terrifying.
But that's what he looked like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mason was just like cutting through everyone and like searching out contact. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really, really crazy to watch a guy who you didn't expect to do anything. And all of a sudden here he is, like, wow, like you arrived like on the first week of the season in a big game. Against...
Well, it's a big sense of relief too. Cause it's like, oh, we got McCaffrey out. He's dealing with an Achilles tendonitis or whatever. Like, he might just be in and out a bit this season. We don't know for sure if he is, but like, if you guys dealing with injuries, like, that's going to scare you a bit. Just the fact that, all right, no, we're good. Like, we're okay.
I think it's interesting because they talked about this a little bit of practice yesterday, and Shanahan, was it yesterday or the day before? Shanahan said, like, they aren't, like, considering the IR for McCaffrey right now. They're looking at him saying, okay, no, he missed a week. We thought he was going to play.
Yeah, from how they've talked about it, it seems like it's a week-to-week type injury.
Yeah, I think they were actually kind of caught off guard that he didn't play this last week.
Yeah. I think I don't remember who was saying it. It might have been Schefter or someone, but they were saying, like, by the time, like, the game got here that morning, he's like, nah, still not feeling like completely right.
Yeah, if a guy's not playing completely right and he's this type of player,
yeah, you're better off just holding him out for however long.
You are better off holding him out. And, you know, not only that, but you're a team who has much bigger aspirations than winning regular season games in the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying just put the guy on ice and wait it out. And
but you can pick and choose your moments too, like you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And if he doesn't feel right, like the calf / Achilles.
I'm not gonna mess with that.
I
you say you're not
that.
Good. All right, bro, go sit down then.
No, because that's a year.
Yes.
If he blows out Achilles, that's a year.
It's a year. You probably lost some speed. It's gonna affect your career a bit, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the
you don't mess with the calves. You don't mess with the Achilles.
The technology is better and it's improving, but that doesn't mean that he's not gonna miss like huge amounts of time. And it's not like he's a quarterback who's standing around in the back, you know, just kind of hanging out. And like, I think this has sort of always been something that people don't talk about, but McCaffrey's not young. And McCaffrey had a ton of injuries before he got to San Francisco. And you hope that you're going to be able to preserve him for, you know, another 2-3 years and have him be your star back. But that's kind of like the life expectancy here.
Yeah.
If you get to 3 years from, you know, including this season, I think you've won. You know, if it's only two, it's totally understandable. It's like the NFL, like guys break down, especially at the running back position. That's why running backs don't get paid anymore. And you have to have five of them on your roster. It's because this is sort of like the new NFL and where things are going.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, as far as the deal and all, I think, like you said, it probably is going to take this one more year to, like, all right, the Niners got everything they wanted out of it. But I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's going to be somewhere he's missing a lot of time this year. It's more so because they held him out all the preseason too. So I feel like it's just one where it's kind of like, all right, like once you feel like you're right again, all right, we'll get to running.
Yeah, I think there's always a little bit of concern, especially when you know that he.
If we're still talking about this in week six, then I'll be a lot more concerned because it's just like it's not going to go away then.
But remember, we were talking about this in the playoffs. Like, this is an injury that started in the playoffs.
It's not the manage however they can, I guess.
Yeah, he was able to play through it for sure. But at the same time, this isn't the way you want to start a season, is to have a guy just completely, you know, like hit and miss. All right, we have hour three. If those of you don't know, D'Lo and Casey, they will be here today. They're going to be here in just a little bit, but they have another responsibility.
Believe it or not, they work on another radio station.
They do. They work on another radio station, and someone's going to do a concert or something here. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear some of that in the background. But it's going to be me and Jesse taking you to the 1 o'clock hour. So we'll be back for hour number three of the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in just a minute.